from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610, alongside John Lopez. I'm Sean Bajani, Figgy Fig, here as well. If you want to be a part of the show, text in 713-572-4610, 572-4610. So this is super interesting, and I cannot wait to see if you guys out there listening had the same reaction I just did. And I'm willing to bet you probably had a very similar reaction in some way, shape, or form, but I want to know if it was about the same player and numbers that I saw. This is really interesting. So Lopez found Mike Clay, who is a data analyst for ESPN, and he did a projection.
Like to the number.
To the number. I mean, for you, you know, stat dorks out there like me, that, you know, are pretty consistent on baseballreference.com, profootballreference.com, like just numbers. You like numbers, projections, where the Texans, for instance, are going to finish as an offensive ranking in the league, defensive ranking, projected win totals. But to the T, like yards rushing for Joe Mixon this year, games played for C.J. Stroud, yards thrown for, all that stuff. Mike Clay's got all of these projections, not just for the Texans, but the other 31 NFL teams. This is fantastic stuff.
Yeah, he does this every year. And you know those stat sheets that you see on ESPN or wherever your favorite, you know, stat website is? And where it's like every player catches, yards, touchdowns, or defensive tackles. Like, he does it for every single player in the league that he believes is going to play. So I looked at the Texans one, obviously, and I'll give you these. I mean, he completes and attempts even he puts for C.J. Stroud. Let's start right there. Says he's going to play in 15 games, so he's going to miss two games. 349 out of 542. That's neither here nor there. But 4,049 yards passing, 27 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and then he goes from there. So put that in the bank. Then you have to go to the receivers, right? The leading receiver, according to him, will not be Stephon Diggs. It'll be one Nico Collins. 1,057 yards with 78 catches. Now he has he has Stephon Diggs with more catches, 86 catches.
Yeah.
For 1,039 yards. So there's 2,000 yard receivers right there. The third one you're looking at, you're thinking about, is obviously Tank Dell. He has him with 70 catches for 933 yards. So just about another 1,000-yard receiver. Now, we'll get to Joe Mixon and stuff, but let's start right there. Because then he went down even like games projected to win.
Everything.
Percentages of them winning that game, tackles, sacks, all that. But let's start with those three guys. If I give you 4,049 yards, 27 touchdowns from C.J. Stroud, in essence, 3,000-yard receivers with Tank Dell coming in at 933 yards, what kind of team is this going to be?
A really freaking dangerous one. Now, the yards thrown for is actually less than what he threw for last year.
Right.
Touchdowns, it's plus four. He threw for 23 this past season. Mm-hmm. The projection is 27. Mm-hmm. He only threw five interceptions this past year. The projection is 11. So the numbers, like fewer yards, more interceptions, more than double, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you just went through the yards for each of these receivers, Collins, yeah. Diggs, and Dell.
Mm-hmm.
Dell almost finished with 1,000 yards. If he finishes mm-hmm. with 1,000 yards, that will only be the fifth time in NFL history that a trio of receivers had each gone more than 1,000 yards. If we're talking about that projection throughout the course of the regular season, a lot of really good things are happening. But where's Dalton Schultz on here?
Thank you. That's what I was looking at.
C.J. Stroud is throwing for fewer yards. Mm-hmm. These three dudes are almost 1,000-plus yard receivers. Mm-hmm. Where's Dalton Schultz?
Dalton Schultz has just 50. Well, I say just, but he has 53 catches, 538 yards.
Hmm.
That's a little bit. I mean, it's very plausible if you got three guys that are stretching the field like that, but that's a little bit of a, I'd like to see a little bit better out of that.
So Dalton Schultz last season with the Texans, 635 yards on 59 catches, five touchdowns. The projection this year is 538 yards, 53 catches, mm-hmm. four touchdowns. Okay.
Yeah.
and that's also, by the way, 15 games played, which is what he'd played in this past season.
Mm-hmm.
Something doesn't add up.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, pass catcher. What is he doing? Receptions, 42 for 297 yards, three touchdowns as a receiver.
Yeah.
Cool. But probably a little less than what he's capable of and has shown before.
As a receiver, for sure. By the way, I'm sure you're wondering, rushing yards for Joe Mixon. They have him with 937 yards rushing projected. Also a little low. I'd like to see him if he's playing. It depends on how many games he's played. They have him at 14, which is okay for 937, but I'd like to see him be getting more games in and right about 1,000 yards or more.
So I would like to see, all right, rushing. The team stat for rushing, 23 attempts, 28 yards, 24 touchdowns. Do you see that column on the right in the red? I don't really. Is that like average 23 attempts average?
Yeah.
What is 28 yards rushing?
I don't know what.
What are we doing here?
I don't know.
That's got to be better than that. But here, the reason why I bring that up is because Joe Mixon, cool. I could deal with 937 yards rushing, mm-hmm. and it says he's projected to play 14 games. My eyes immediately went to Damian Pierce.
Yeah,
that is to me one of the biggest storylines going into training camp. Is Damian Pierce. Joe Mixon will not be and cannot be a bell cow for you.
Yeah.
I am just hell-bent on that. You have to have a 1-2
absolutely.
Punch. Damian Pierce,
this
14
is bad.
Games played, 299 yards rushing.
In 14 games.
In 14 games. That's 78 attempts, 2 touchdowns. Now, as a pass catcher, 7 catches, 43 yards. That's ass.
Yeah.
That was my initial reaction. That's where I was like, whoa, Lopez, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's the one that would stand out. So it's telling you, and this is the data analyst data, however you want to say it, for ESPN doing this, that they're going to have to find another running back, some more running back production at some point.
So how bad is that for Damian Pierce on the projection?
Mm-hmm.
Here's how bad. Last year, Damian Pierce ran for 416 yards.
In a very bad year.
In a very bad, bad year. Yeah. That's on 145 attempts, mind you, for just 2.9 yards average per carry. The average per carry numbers for Damian Pierce are not on here, but you do the math.
Mm-hmm.
78 attempts, 299 yards. That, yeah. Lopez, mm-hmm. is 3.8. I don't hate that.
No, I don't hate that. But look, the running back position definitely stands out. Wide receivers stand out in a good way. C.J. Stroud stands out in a good way. Now, if you look at the defense, what if I told you that no one.
Here we go.
No one has more than 8.5 sacks.
I would, you know, I wouldn't. If you told me that on the surface, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, well, look at all of the guys that are very capable of getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
I could see three guys with, you know, 8.5 sacks. I mean, Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, Will Anderson. And I could feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
And then never mind, I haven't even gotten to your secondary players in Derek Barnett,
mm-hmm.
In Foley Fatakasi. Stylistically, are more sacks coming from a linebacker core,
yeah.
In Azeez Al-Shaire, in Christian Harris? Like, what are we doing?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Well, they're not.
Okay.
Well, they're
Thanks,
not.
Thanks, Mike Clay.
The projection for Danielle Hunter is your sack leader, and these are obviously in decimals, so it's not going to be exact, but this is the number he came up with, 8.7 sacks. Then Will Anderson, 8. After that, Danico Autry, 5.2, and then a big drop-off, everybody else with 1 or 2. Actually, they have Derek Barnett with 3.7.
Yeah, and Jerry Hughes with 2.9.
Yeah.
So, Azeez Alshire, Christian Harris, you know, a little over sack, Jalen Petrie, Tim Settle, Khalil Davis, Kurt Heinisch, Foley Fatakasi, they're all in the ones. That, on the surface, looking at that, would concern me.
Yeah.
And it should, especially when I tell you where Mike Clay has the Texans ranked defensively at season's end.
Mm-hmm.
At season's end for 2023, you know how good, how potent this defense had become in the second half and into the postseason, Lopez. Yeah. But for the regular season, the Texans finished with a 14th ranking for defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's got him at 18.
Yeah.
So falling off, I think that is like on the complete opposite end of the spectrum that everybody else has this defense projected to do. We have, this is a top 10 defense, I think, potentially.
Yeah. He's got them at 18, and that would not be good enough. That, that would not project to what you want to see. Offensively, yes, especially passing the ball. And I've said it a million times, this is a passing team, so I don't mind it. Little concerned about the rushing. And all these numbers all put together, he projects weekly results. Mm-hmm. Score predictions, projections, win percentage probability, win probability. So he does have the Texans starting out 4-0 with more than roughly a 60% chance to win the first four games. But it is interesting. At the Jets, just a 35% chance to win. Cowboys, 38% chance to win. Chiefs, 35, and Baltimore, 43. Has them projected for 9.2 wins, which ranks 13th in the NFL. So everybody's all over the top with the Texans. He's kind of middle of the pack. Like, it's going to be sort of a duplicate of last year.
But, you know, it is subjective. I'd be interested to see what he has for the Jags and for the Colts, because a projection of just over 9 wins this season for the Texans, I don't hate that.
Yeah.
It's relative to what you expect or what the rest of the division is going to do, right? And never mind the Titans, but I think the other two thorns in the side of the Texans potentially could clearly be the Indianapolis Colts and Jacksonville Jaguars.
Funny you asked. Jacksonville Jaguars, the Texans win projection total is 9.2.
Okay.
Jacksonville, 8.5. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis, 8.3. So the Texans will win the division, but very, very tight.
That's tight. And wouldn't you expect it to be tight? I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Even if, let's just say all these individual statistics are better than what Clay projects.
Yeah.
And everything that we have envisioned in our mind in terms of, boy, the defense is going to be top 10.
Yeah.
The offense is going to be potent and explosive and potential of 3,000-plus yard receivers. All that's fantastic. The rushing's better. Everything's better. I still think this is going to be a very tight race. I don't think the Texans are running away with anything.
Oh, I absolutely do.
I think they're the best team. I don't think they're running away with it.
No, I don't either. I've been saying that as well, because I just think the quarterbacks they face, you're going to be in some very close games.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at the number. Look at the quarterbacks they're facing, and those are guys that are no chumps. One of the best schedules in the NFL when it comes to opposing quarterbacks. I mean, just look at how you end the year with last four games, Tua, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and then of course, you know, Will Levis, for what it's worth. But you also face Jared Goff. You also face Aaron Rodgers if he's healthy. You also face Dak Prescott. Yeah, you also face Jordan Love. You also face Josh Allen. So just the quarterbacks alone that this team is facing, you're going to be in some close games. By the way, the Tennessee Titans, they project at 5.5 wins. So
that is not good. Get out of here.
That is not good.
You know, all those quarterbacks that the Texans are going to have to face, obviously really good to elite. C.J. Stroud says, I'm here.
Yeah, bring it on.
You know, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, they got to play us too, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. From the text line, 713-572-4610, this is from Gilbert. John, I believe that Dameon Pierce was going through a mental problem from his injury the previous year, and that he's gotten over it and is going to be the Dameon Pierce we knew in the beginning. I think I am more on the side of that than the pessimistic guy that says, I don't think Damian's going to really have it. You know, he was really good for a bad team on a bad offense, all that stuff. There is something unique. There is something I would say that is in fact special. Now, whether it's special on the football field is another thing, but he has special qualities, Dameon Pierce.
Oh, absolutely, he does. I couldn't classify myself as optimistic on Dameon Pierce or pessimistic on Dameon Pierce. I have to see how he fits. My big thing with him is, okay, the system wasn't his fit last year. Yeah. It was very, very obvious. Has he improved? Have they found ways of getting him more involved? Will this system be a better fit for him? Because if it is, and he can feel more comfortable in it, we know what he can do once he has the ball in his hands and he's got some space.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. A few segments ago, we went through, it was a question that you'd kind of formed. Which one of these five position groups that, if it hits an elite status, could take the Texans to an over-the-top level in the AFC?
Yes.
Right? And I said offensive line. Figgy said corner. I think you said offensive.
Will Anderson.
No, you said Will Anderson. Yeah. We have different opinions on that.
Mm-hmm.
The one position that I really don't think can honestly be answered in training camp with all of the watchful eyes.
Be four or five games in.
Is what?
Running back.
Yes.
Yeah. You won't know until four or five games in.
That is going to drive fans. That is going to drive us absolutely bonkers during training.
I mean, you might have signs and hints, but until you're in the meat of the schedule, getting into the meat of the schedule, you really won't know if it's working.
I mean.
Yeah. Just like last year.
Insert Dari Ogunbowale.
Yeah.
Insert, who was the guy that the Texans signed?
Jarre Jordan.
Drafted. Last year. But yeah, Jarre Jordan. Anybody over the last 3 years, insert that running back into a training camp practice and us watching, damn, that guy looks pretty damn good. You know who I thought was going to be good for the Texans last year running the frickin' rock was a guy that they'd signed. I think he once upon a time ago ran the rock for Dallas as a backup. We had him. The Texans had him last year.
Yeah.
And they ended up cutting him. And I was like, oh, this guy's going to be a good third option.
Well,
his ass never saw the field at all.
May I present to you Alfred Blue?
I mean, he was good for like.
So what do the Texans do? Let's say Mixon don't really have that great of a year. I hope this ain't the case, but let's say he had like a mid type of year.
Yeah.
Like, what do they do?
That is one of the biggest questions there is. Like, Joe Mixon has to have a good year and has to stay healthy. Has to.
Yeah, because let's say he have a year kind of like the other running back from last year.
Yeah.
Had.
Yeah.
Or maybe lower.
Singletary?
Yeah. Let's say he have a Singletary, maybe below Singletary type of year. What do they do at that point?
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, at this point, you know, you're all in right now. You have to be able to find a running back. You have no choice.
Yeah. I think they could survive mid because they survived mid last year.
Mm-hmm.
From a totality, like a cumulative number standpoint, they wouldn't have been near as good if Singletary wouldn't have answered the bell in the second half.
Yeah, you got to find that.
And remember that
he came in to be the second guy, too.
Yeah,
he wasn't coming in to be the starter.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. But after that Jets game, I mean, he gave the Texans some excellent production when they absolutely needed it. He's John Lopez, Sean Bajani. You are in the loop. Coming up next, there's been an update on Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers. Question is, are you buying it? We'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
You're in the loop at Sports Radio 610. I'm Sean Bajani in with John Lopez and Figgy Fig today. So a Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers update.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking news. I already have this sense, like everybody else out there listening, when you heard my tease, are you buying it? I said, no.
Of course not.
I ain't touching it with a 10-foot pole.
Of course not.
I know. Yeah. I know. You shouldn't be buying it, but I do feel a hell of a lot better about Justin Verlander than Lance McCullers these days.
Oh, yeah. If you're rating him, I do, because he was on a mound. Well, let's hear from Joe Espada.
He threw 25 pitches. McCullers still no throw. We're going to sit down with him in the next day or two and figure out what we're going to do next. But he's still no throw. We're going to have the doctors just revisit with him again and just make sure that we get him on a path where we could get him on the field. You know, so we still holding on that.
Okay, so here's where I am with this. When he's talking about Verlander and he threw 25 pitches and he was on a mound, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it sucks me in every time. I know it does you as well.
Yes.
Like every time I'm like, all right, well, let's see what happens. But it did. And they showed him on the broadcast, in the bullpen, on the mound.
Yeah, I saw Spo's video.
Yeah, and Spo had a video throwing pitches. So yes, I mean, maybe it's fool me 7,000 times, you know, whatever. that we shouldn't be this optimistic. But I am more optimistic, I'll put it that way, for Verlander. But then right after that, you know, he talks about McCullers. Well, he's still a no throw. So he's still shut down. You can say the words. We know.
Yeah.
You know, he's still shut down, which has a bad connotation and still doesn't know, et cetera, et cetera. I wouldn't count on McCullers for anything at this point. But I'm telling you, maybe I'm a fool, but I am buying a little bit on the Verlander.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to buy on Verlander because nothing in terms of a setback has been reported, mm-hmm. has been indicated.
Now, it's taken a long time for a guy that had a sore neck.
Yes, it has taken a long time. And the longer that it takes, it not only has implications on this season, but it has implications on next season as well. Like, in that there might not be one for Justin Verlander, mm-hmm. at least as a Houston Astro. Because if he does not hit that 140-inning threshold
to
kick in the vesting option of his contract next year, which, by the way, the Mets are still on the hook for half of, mm-hmm. and your Astros could get a Justin Verlander for just $17 million change, that's a big deal. And I would say, too, then, John, it does impact this year, too. And it should, because the Astros have still got to make a decision, and it does come down to financial commitments. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, maybe that makes the Astros a little bit more aggressive in terms of the type of arm and the amount of control that they're getting for that type of arm on the trade market this year.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't, but maybe it does.
Yeah.
So I think it's something to consider. Now, for Lance McCullers, this has got to be pushing him at least another 2 weeks, because it's been 2 weeks almost, or a week and change since he's been shut down.
Yeah.
He was already behind Luis Garcia.
He absolutely was. By the way, Luis Garcia.
Yeah.
You know, where are we on that? You see some rehab news, et cetera, and what he's throwing, et cetera. I would have to rank them Verlander 1, Garcia 2, and McCullers, as cool people like to say, you can miss me with any of that. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out on that.
It's really, really cool, mm-hmm. that the Astros are where they are, by in which they've gotten here. Ronel Blanco, Framber Valdez, the emergence of Hunter Brown, mm-hmm. And I would say some grittiness by Spencer Arrighetti, you know, who is not ready to be a major league starting pitcher.
Yeah.
But is here. That's what he's called upon to do, and you've got to go out there and do it. I mean, you talk about being thrown into the fire on the job training, like take some lumps for the team kind of a situation. This is that, and here you are one game behind the Mariners going into the All-Star break.
I do have a question for you on that, but of course, our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Here's my question for you. We haven't even really mentioned it today. We are at the All-Star break.
Yeah.
It's happening. Home Run Derby tonight?
Official Monday, yep.
Yeah, Home Run Derby tonight. How do we really feel about the Astros right now? And that's not, I don't mean that to be like a trick question or anything, because on the one hand, I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm the guy that said they were done, you know, admittedly, but I'm sitting here thinking it can absolutely happen. They can absolutely get there from here. They're one game out, as you said, mm-hmm. in the division. I believe 1.5 games in the wild card.
3.5.
3.5. Well, 1.5 from the next one ahead of them, I think is what it is. But yeah, 3.5 from the last spot, mm-hmm. 1.5 from being the next one in, so to speak. It can happen, and the Mariners are absolutely looking in their rearview mirrors. They blew a game yesterday.
Man, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see any of the Rangers.
Well, I think
series,
you have a good excuse.
But I do know that the Astros had a lot of missed opportunities just from what I've heard and, you know, briefly what I'd read. I mean, when you get bases loaded and you're not able to drive a run in and stuff like that, that's just killer. But that's also baseball.
Yeah.
It happens. And I think with the recent stretch, with how the Astros have played, and they've taken care of business without Verlander,
mm-hmm.
without Kyle Tucker, playing literally the best baseball in the entire league.
Yeah.
There's an excuse there. There's a pass because you got a sweep of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
You had a really good finish to these final 9 games, which to me in my mind were pivotal. that you keep pace and actually continue to improve the pacing with the Mariners, who were falling apart. So to wind up just one game behind the M's, that's a huge win. Yeah, would you have liked to have won this series against the Rangers? Yes. Was it important to do so? Yes. Why? You're done with the Rangers in early August. And that's important because what this series taught me, and just while I didn't see a damn thing, here come the Rangers. We already know they're playing better baseball here recently.
Yes.
They just took two or three from your Astros. And you, if you're the Astros, had an opportunity to create separation, to kind of, you know, elbow those guys back. You talk about looking in the rearview mirror. Astros could have been looking in the rearview mirror and seeing, waving bye-bye to the Rangers.
Yeah.
They said, hey, this is a two-man race. It's us and the M's. You guys stay out of it. You don't have that opportunity right now.
Yeah.
You kind of let them back in.
Mm-hmm. Or at least have some confidence. There's still, confidence. I think, three or four games behind them, but that's not a lot.
But I've been saying this all season. The Rangers are very similar to the Astros from day one of spring training, really.
Injured.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just
pitchers injured.
What were the Astros saying?
Yeah.
Let's just keep our heads above water.
Yeah.
Because if we're able to do that, we're going to get this, boom, 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 that guy back. The Rangers have been saying the same thing. Scherzer, DeGrom. I think they were missing another young bat who could be coming back here in the second half. Dude, they get closer to full strength. They're going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, no, they are. But here's my one concern, because they are absolutely in it. They're absolutely, you know, in the Mariners' heads collectively. And I'm maybe more of a question for you, but it is my concern. If you don't see these guys that are out right now, Tucker, Verlander, Garcia, again, forget McCullers, but let's say one of those three guys or all of those three guys.
Mm-hmm.
In the Mariners series, is that a concern? Because, like, the Mariners is how you start the second half. You've got this development of these guys, this rehab, getting back into form. Now they have the four-day break. Would you be concerned if they're not here for the Mariners series? One or all?
One.
Yeah.
Tucker.
Yes.
I'd be concerned if you don't have Tucker. Now, I already don't worry about the offense, but... And mind you, you get to start fresh.
Yeah.
However you want to start that rotation.
That's what I'm saying.
You get your three best dudes.
That's why I put the pitchers in there.
Yeah. You get your three best dudes. So you're going to go Fromber, Rennell, and Hunter. Boom, boom, boom. If they don't, they're wrong.
Yeah.
But you throw your three best dudes in that series. You put Tucker in this lineup. I mean, Yiner Diaz has been hitting cleanup for how long now and flourishing.
Yeah.
He's been doing a tremendous job. Yordan's back to being a run producer. So you insert one of the best bats in all of baseball back into this lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you can hope for against the Mariners. And I would be shocked if Tucker was not out there for the Mariners.
Well, that my answer is Tucker as well. Like you have been, had this bruise, allegedly, and you've been rehabbing. You've been, not really putting a lot of weight on it. And you have this other break, and you're not back by the Mariners series when they can really, really use you. It's probably not your fault.
Yeah.
But that's a big concern. Here's where it gets interesting with the pitchers. 10 games after we get back. 10 days, I should say, after we get back. We'll be back on the 19th. That's the 29th. That's a day before the trade deadline. If we don't see the pitchers by 10 days after the All-Star break, if we don't see Verlander, if we don't see Luis Garcia, you got
to do something. We decided to kind of pull back on his progression.
You've got to do something, right?
I think it certainly ramps it up. And it's really not. Think about it like this. It's really not if you don't see them. It's especially for Verlander and Garcia, those two alone, if they're not continuing to progress.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, Dana Brown, Joe Espada, Jim Crane, this organization has operated under the idea that they're coming back.
Yeah.
So you could still...
They've been telling us that.
Sure. The Astros are going to do something, I will guarantee you, at the deadline. And I'm just telling you right now, don't hold your breath for a guy that you know his name of.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be somewhere in the margins. You may or may not know of this guy, but it's not going to be a big time arm. It's not going to be a number one or two. You could forget about Garrett Crochet as far as I'm concerned. It's going to cost you too much. And I still don't understand why the Chicago White Sox would even entertain that. Mm-hmm. They don't want to suck forever. They'd like to have this guy be the guy they build around in terms of a staff. So I just don't think the big name's going to happen. But I do agree with you that it certainly ramps up the sense of urgency that you make the move.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for XYZ team to enter the conversation and outbid you. He just drives the price up. He's John Lopez, Sean Bajani. It's In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll play the hits right here. Stay here.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day.
You're listening to In the Loop
with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
In with John Lopez. I'm Sean Bajani. Figgy Fig here as well. Time to play the hits, man. And there's really been a lot to get to over the course of just this weekend alone, man.
Yeah.
And we'll start with the Astros because I know the MLB draft doesn't hit for most people. Mm-hmm. However, at one point in time, maybe in the very near future, 2-3 years down the road, you very well could be sporting this dude's jersey. Certainly rooting for him as a member of your Houston Astros. He's now their top pick, number 28 overall last night.
Glad they got a first-round pick.
Yeah, baby. shout-out Sam Houston State alum, Bearcats. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Walker Yannick, a 21-year-old catcher from that really good baseball program, is now one of your newest members of the Houston Astros. Drafted last night, 28th overall. Best catcher in the draft, Jay.
By all accounts, best catcher in the draft. It just kind of warmed the heart to see a Sam Houston kid get into the Astros organization. By the way, born and raised in Astros gear, huge Astros fan. So that makes it an even better story.
I heard his grandfather was, too. I think he's a Corpus Christi guy.
Yeah, he's from Corpus. Yeah, went to the Hooks game, saw Altuve and all them when they were down there. So huge, huge Astros fan. And, like, you went into, you know, some of the nitty-gritty data and pop rates and all that, which I'm sure, you know, obviously is relevant. But I just think
1.8 is very relevant.
That's very, very relevant. And that's all great. I think our listeners, just from the surface level, he is legitimately the best catcher in the draft. So it led me to ask you and our listeners, you know, just about, I think this might affect Yonner Diaz and in a good way for the Astros. I think the Astros, clearly you can't have enough catchers and pitchers, but I think the Astros are maybe keeping an eye on, as you mentioned, 2 years down the road. He's a college player, so he's closer. They tend to get to the big leagues a lot quicker. I think that could be a possibility, maybe putting Yonner somewhere in the field, maybe first base.
Yeah, I think that's got to be a possibility. It's on the whiteboard somewhere. It was a part of the discussion. You have to believe it because the Astros, and we know this, Yiner's got a really good bat. Maybe he's not long for the catching position, but maybe he is.
Yeah.
My biggest problem when you tell me about a young player who is not a wow guy, defensively behind the dish, okay, is what's wrong with being able to grow into the position to improve? Like, when you get to Major League Baseball, you don't automatically stop getting better.
Exactly.
Right? You don't just stop. Like, you have, it's not like, hey, I made it, and here I am. There's room for improvement, especially with some of these young guys. And so I do think Yiner can improve. And in terms of room for improvement, one of the best things about this guy, Walker Yannick, that the Astros drafted is that he's 21. He's got college chops. He's done really well at the Cape Cod League. It's not just his defensive prowess in handling pitchers behind the dish. The guy can swing the bat, too, and he'd proven so against some of the elite pitching best in the nation at the Cape Cod League. That's where a lot of the scouts go to and look and evaluate.
And the reason is they have wooden bats, they have, you know, so it's a good template, you know, a good gauge. And the other thing I like about it, Sam Houston State is a very, as you mentioned, a very good program. They play a high quality schedule. Like, they play Oklahoma State, A&M. I think they might have played Texas this year. So he is legitimately, you know, playing. And by the way, he was named the best defensive, he was named the best catcher in America this year.
Yes, 100%. So, looking forward to watching him and rooting for him. By the way, I think the final day to sign the rookie contract for these guys drafted is August 1st. So, I would not presume that that's an issue for him.
Quick work.
The Astros, no doubt. Jacoby Jones passing away over the weekend at the age of 40. Obviously, big shock to all. A very sad weekend just in terms of sports, celebrity, everything that's been going on, and To see the outpour, John, from guys like Match.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Or at least have some confidence. There's still, confidence. I think, 3 or 4 games behind them, but that's not a lot.
But I've been saying this all season. The Rangers are very similar to the Astros from day one of spring training, really.
Injured.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just
pitchers injured.
What were the Astros saying?
Yeah.
Let's just keep our heads above water.
Yeah.
Because if we're able to do that, we're going to get this, boom, 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 that guy back. The Rangers have been saying the same thing. Scherzer, DeGrom. I think they were missing another young bat who could be coming back here in the second half. Dude, they get closer to full strength, they're going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, no, they are. But here's my one concern, because they are absolutely in it. They're absolutely, you know, in the Mariners' heads collectively. And I'm maybe more of a question for you, but it is my concern. If you don't see these guys that are out right now, Tucker, Verlander, Garcia, again, forget McCullers, but let's say one of those three guys or all of those three guys in the Mariners series, is that a concern? Because, like, the Mariners is how you start the second half. You've got this development of these guys, this rehab, getting back into form. Now they have the 4-day break. Would you be concerned if they're not here for the Mariners series? One or all?
One.
Yeah.
Tucker.
Yes.
I'd be concerned if you don't have Tucker. Now, I already don't worry about the offense, but, and mind you, you get to start fresh.
Yeah.
However you want to start that rotation.
That's what I'm saying.
You get your three best dudes.
That's why I put the pitchers in there.
Yeah. You get your three best dudes, so you're going to go Fromber, Rennell, and Hunter. Boom, boom, boom. If they don't, they're wrong.
Yeah.
But you throw your three best dudes in that series. You put Tucker in this lineup. I mean, Yiner Diaz has been hitting cleanup for how long now and flourishing.
Yeah.
He's been doing a tremendous job. Yordan's back to being a run producer. So you insert one of the best bats in all of baseball back into this lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you can hope for against the Mariners. And I would be shocked if Tucker was not out there for the Mariners.
Well, that my answer is Tucker as well. Like you have been, had this bruise, allegedly, you know, and you've been rehabbing, you've been, not really putting a lot of weight on it, and you have this other break and you're not back by the Mariners series when they can really, really use you, it's probably not your fault.
Yeah.
But that's a big concern. Here's where it gets interesting with the pitchers. 10 games after we get back, 10 days, I should say, after we get back, we'll be back on the 19th. That's the 29th. That's a day before the trade deadline. If we don't see the pitchers by 10 days after the All-Star break, if we don't see Verlander, if we don't see Luis Garcia, you got
to. We decided to kind of pull back on his progression.
You've got to do something, right?
I think it certainly ramps it up, and it's really not. Think about it like this: it's really not if you don't see them. It's especially for Verlander and Garcia; those two alone. If they're not continuing to progress.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, Dana Brown, Joe Espada, Jim Crane, this organization has operated under the idea that they're coming back.
Yeah.
So you could still...
They've been telling us that.
Sure. The Astros are going to do something, I will guarantee you, at the deadline. And I'm just telling you right now, don't hold your breath for a guy that you know his name of.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be somewhere in the margins... you know, you may or may not know of this guy, but it's not going to be a big time arm. It's not going to be a number one or two. You could forget about Garrett Crochet as far as I'm concerned. It's going to cost you too much. And I still don't understand why the Chicago White Sox would even entertain that. Mm-hmm. They don't want to suck forever. They'd like to have this guy be the guy they build around in terms of a staff. So I just don't think the big name's going to happen, but I do agree with you that it certainly ramps up the sense of urgency that you make the move.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for XYZ team to enter the conversation and outbid you. He just drives the price up. He's John Lopez, Sean Bajani. It's In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll play the hits right here. Stay here.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day.
You're listening to In the Loop
with Houston's sports leader,
Sports Radio 610.
In with John Lopez, I'm Sean Bajani. Figgy Fig here as well. Time to play the hits, man. And there's really been a lot to get to over the course of just this weekend alone, man.
Yeah.
And we'll start with the Astros because I know the MLB draft doesn't hit for most people.
Mm-hmm.
However, at one point in time, maybe in the very near future, 2-3 years down the road, you very well could be sporting this dude's jersey. Certainly rooting for him as a member of your Houston Astros. He's now their top pick, number 28 overall last night.
Glad they got a first-round pick.
Yeah, baby. shout-out Sam Houston State alum, Bearcats.
Mm-hmm.
Walker Yannick, a 21-year-old catcher from that really good baseball program, is now one of your newest members of the Houston Astros. Drafted last night, 28th overall. Best catcher in the draft, Jay.
By all accounts, best catcher in the draft. It just kind of warmed the heart to see a Sam Houston kid get into the Astros organization. By the way, born and raised in Astros gear, huge Astros fan. So that makes it an even better story.
I heard his grandfather was, too. Like, I think he's a Corpus Christi guy.
Yeah, he's from Corpus. Yeah, went to the Hooks game, saw Altuve and all them when they were down there. So huge Astros fan. And, like, you went into, you know, some of the nitty-gritty data and pop rates and all that, which I'm sure, you know, obviously is relevant. But I just think
1.8 is very relevant.
That's very, very relevant. And that's all great. I think our listeners, just from the surface level, he is legitimately the best catcher in the draft. So it led me to ask you and our listeners, you know, just about, I think this might affect Yonner Diaz and in a good way for the Astros. I think the Astros, clearly you can't have enough catchers and pitchers, but I think the Astros are maybe keeping an eye on, as you mentioned, 2 years down the road. He's a college player, so he's closer. They tend to get to the big leagues a lot quicker. I think that could be a possibility, maybe putting Yonner somewhere in the field, maybe first base.
Yeah, I think that's got to be a possibility. It's on the whiteboard somewhere. It was a part of the discussion. You have to believe it because the Astros, and we know this, Yiner's got a really good bat. Maybe he's not long for the catching position, but maybe he is.
Yeah.
My biggest problem when you tell me about a young player who is not a wow guy, defensively behind the dish, okay, is what's wrong with being able to grow into the position to improve? Like, when you get to Major League Baseball,
no,
you don't automatically stop getting better.
Exactly. Right?
You don't just stop. Like you have. It's not like, hey, I made it, and here I am. There's room for improvement, especially with some of these young guys. And so I do think Yiner can improve. And in terms of room for improvement, one of the best things about this guy, Walker Yannick, that the Astros drafted is that he's 21. He's got college chops. He's done really well at the Cape Cod League. It's not just his defensive prowess in handling pitchers behind the dish. The guy can swing the bat, too, and he'd proven so against some of the elite pitching best in the nation at the Cape Cod League. That's where a lot of the scouts go to and look and evaluate.
And the reason is they have wooden bats. They have, you know, so it's a good template, you know, a good gauge. And the other thing I like about it, Sam Houston State is a very, as you mentioned, a very good program. They play a high quality schedule. Like they play Oklahoma State, A&M. I think they played. They might have played Texas this year. So he is legitimately, you know, playing. And by the way, he was named the best defensive. He was named the best catcher in America.
Yes.
This year.
Yes, 100%. So. Looking forward to watching him and rooting for him. By the way, I think the final day to sign the rookie contract for these guys drafted is August 1st. So I would not presume that that's an issue for him.
Quick work.
The Astros, no doubt. Jacoby Jones passing away over the weekend at the age of 40. Obviously, big shock to all. A very sad weekend just in terms of sports, celebrity, everything that's been going on. And to see the outpour, John, from guys like Matt Schaub to Arian Foster to Dwayne Brown. I mean, I saw it all just looking through, you know, the Twitter musings last night. Very, very sad for Jacoby Jones.
And, you know, we were talking about this a little bit during the break. I was telling Figgy, you know, in Baltimore, he is an absolute legend for some of the things he did during their Super Bowl run and how he played there. But really, he's legendary in a sense in Houston as well. A big personality, big plays. Certainly had some moments where people were quite, like myself and others, were questioning his, you know, he had some drops and big turnovers. But he was just a magnetic guy. I mentioned earlier a friend of mine that works at Verizon. We used to do those Verizon shows every Tuesday. Yeah. Remember, Mark Vandermeer and I sent a picture of Jacoby and I talking. And just the brightest, funnest guy that you'd ever want to be. But we do need to play this because the guy, that run that he had with the Ravens, big catch, touchdown for the Ravens against the Broncos, big catch from Joe Flacco when Joe Flacco was elite in the Super Bowl, and then this.
And this could be a run back from 19 for Jacoby Jones. And look at him go. Jones is past the 50, and he is flying inside the 20, and a kickoff return, a run.
I guess it was an all-time record.
In the Super Bowl.
109 yards in the Super Bowl.
That was incredible.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. How'd you feel about that, Figgy?
I knew the game was over because Baltimore was just whooping them.
It was like already like 24-6 or something?
Yeah. When I seen that, I'm like, oh, it's really over now.
Yeah.
You know, in relation to Jacoby and the great moments that he did have, I thought about this last night, really, after just looking at all the love that he was getting and people, you know, the memories that they were sharing on Twitter after his passing. You know, his time in Houston didn't end on a high note. I mean, people remember the muffed putt against the Ravens like that.
Yeah.
And it hit me in a certain way in that I feel bad. And it's sports.
No.
This is what we do. We talk about these things. He was heavily criticized for that, you know, and it's just tough. And I think back like how criticism from sports media about players have changed and evolved from just 30, 40, 50 years. Right. Yeah. We're a lot harder on guys now than probably ever before in terms of sports media. At least it just feels that way.
Yeah.
And there's certainly the players are getting it from all over the place.
Oh, sure. For sure.
Social media and the radio, it's much more prevalent in podcasting and stuff like that. And I thought about it like this, especially when I read the owner of the Renegades, who Jacoby Jones,
he became like a football lifer. He started coaching the arena team in Beaumont.
Sam Gordon, who's the owner, did an interview with Aaron Wilson, the KPRC, over the weekend after the news broke. And I'll read you these comments That's why it made me think of like how heavily we criticized him, but now how he's really remembered. Here's the quote from Sam Gordon. He was the best. He loved everyone. I think one of the most important things is he was a man of God. He was proud of how much he loved and feared his God. What was most important to him after football was helping the next person in line. He was the most humble and kind person to anybody who gave him the time and needed time from him.
Yeah.
End quote. And the thing that came to mind for me immediately was that is how we all wish and hope that we'll be remembered by the people that we leave behind.
Yeah.
And it also reminded me specifically of how much work I have left. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't sell yourself.
We have a lot. Well, just in general, like, you know, we have our favorites, and when we lose them, we have fond memories of them. And I have nothing but fond memories of Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, even in the midst of what you said, didn't end it on a high note. He was never disliked.
No.
He was criticized.
No, and you know why?
Yeah.
Because of what I just read.
Yeah.
That was prevalent even when he struggled as a player here because of the energy that he had, because of the excitement that he had. Who said this earlier? Was it you, Seth Payne, or Sean Pendergast? One of you guys said it, that I think it was Seth. He almost had like a juvenile type of
childlike,
personality about him. And that's so true.
Yeah.
Like he was kind of a prankster.
Playful energy.
Never knew what was going to come out of his mouth.
Playful energy is how I would say it.
Yeah.
And gone way, 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 way too soon.
No doubt. Yeah. This is the last one for me on the hits. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to see it, and that's really where it stems from. I don't miss Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
I never miss Wimbledon, especially the final. What an epic Wimbledon I missed.
Figgy, this is your wheelhouse.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
Alcaraz in straight sets. Bada bing, bada boom, bam, get out of here, Djokovic. What a dominating performance. You saw this, Figgy, didn't
you? Yeah, I saw towards the end, but I think it was kind of breathtaking a little bit because we always see the Joker win every single match. He win everything, but it was refreshing to see somebody that's, I think he like 22, 23?
Still very young. I think he's maybe 23.
Yeah, somebody like that.
Beat him last year.
Yeah, beat him last year too. Mm-hmm. So this could be the passing of the torch where he can be the new Joker where he's there every single year.
I think so. But I wanted to be there and see it and live that moment because I'd followed it all the way up until I lost power with everybody else during the storm. It was incredibly special for Djokovic to even have gotten
there. Oh, the way all his injuries.
3 months. Yeah. 3 months removed from knee surgery. And I'd watched him in his first two rounds this Wimbledon, and it was a battle.
Yeah.
That dude was struggling, slipping and sliding. He even fell to his knees at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the round of 16, a round of 32, whatever it was. It was for him to have made it and almost gotten one over on that young kid, man.
Yeah.
To get it back, a little revenge. That would have been so sweet, but I'm happy for the young
Wimbledon
kid
is just special, and you know that because I don't watch tennis like Figgy does or you do, but you always got to tune in to the Wimbledon finals.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Yeah, that's
it. You just do.
I tell people this all the time. I don't watch tennis during the regular season throughout the course of the year, but it's like Wimbledon to me is my Indy 500. It's my
Same
Kentucky
thing.
Derby.
Yeah.
If it's any big soccer qualifier, I don't have to know anything about
anybody. I watched Spain and England.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big soccer guy. I watched every minute of that. And that's just my thing. So, again, shout out to Spain as well for another Euro championship.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. Spain had a good weekend, right?
Really good week. Tennis, golf. Sergio won the LIV tournament this week.
Yeah.
That was kind of under the radar. And then, of course, Spain with the Euros.
They had a very good sports weekend. Shout out Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, we'll roll into the 12 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little Stros. We'll let you hear from Match or Smack. But getting back to the Stros, I thought about this coming into today. If the Astros made the playoffs this season, that would be the most impressive thing we've seen in Houston sports since what? You guys tell me. We'll discuss next.
And the reason is they have wooden bats. They have, so it's a good template, a good gauge. And the other thing I like about it, Sam Houston State is a very, as you mentioned, a very good program. They play a high, high quality schedule. Like they play Oklahoma State, A&M. I think they played. They might have played Texas this year. So he is legitimately, playing. And by the way, he was named the best catcher in America this year.
Yes, 100%. So looking forward to watching him and rooting for him. By the way, I think the final day to sign the rookie contract for these guys drafted is August 1st. So I would not presume that that's an issue for him.
Quick and, work.
The Astros, no doubt. Jacoby Jones passing away over the weekend at the age of 40. Obviously, big shock to all. A very sad weekend just in terms of sports, celebrity, everything that's been going on. And to see the outpour, John, from guys like Matt Schaub to Arian Foster to Dwayne Brown. I mean, I saw it all. Just looking through, you know, the Twitter musings last night. Very, very sad for Jacoby Jones.
And, you know, we were talking about this a little bit during the break. I was telling Figgy, you know, he in Baltimore, he is an absolute legend for some of the things he did during their Super Bowl run and how he played there. But really, he's legendary in a sense in Houston as well. A big personality, big plays. Certainly had some moments where people were quite, like myself and others, were questioning his, you know, he had some drops and big turnovers, but he was just a magnetic guy. I mentioned earlier a friend of mine that works at Verizon. We used to do those Verizon shows every Tuesday. Yeah. Remember Mark Vandermeer and I sent a picture of Jacoby and I talking, and just the brightest, funnest guy that you'd ever want to be. But we do need to play this because the guy, that run that he had with the Ravens, Big catch, touchdown for the Ravens against the Broncos. Big catch from Joe Flacco when Joe Flacco was elite in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then this.
And this could be a run back from 19 for Jacoby Jones. And look at him go. Jones is past the 50. And he is flying inside the 20. And a kickoff return. 109 yards and a touchdown. An all-time record.
I guess it was an all-time record.
In the Super Bowl.
109 yards in the Super Bowl.
That was incredible.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. How'd you feel about that, Figgy?
I knew the game was over because Baltimore is just whooping them.
It was already like 24-6 or something.
Yeah. When I seen that, I'm like, oh, it's really over now.
Yeah.
You know, in relation to Jacoby and the great moments that he did have, I thought about this last night, really, after just looking at all the love that he was getting and people, you know, the memories that they were sharing on Twitter after his passing. You know, his time in Houston didn't end on a high note. I mean, people remember the muffed putt against the Ravens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it just, it hit me in a certain way in that I feel bad. And it's sports.
No.
This is what we do. We talk about these things. He was heavily criticized for that, you know, and it's just tough. And I think back, like, how criticism from sports media about players have changed and evolved from just 30, 40, 50 years, right? Yeah. We're a lot harder on guys now than probably ever before in terms of sports media. At least it just feels that way.
Yeah.
And there's certainly the players are getting it from all over the place.
Oh, sure, for sure.
Social media and in the radio, it's much more prevalent in podcasting and stuff like that. And I thought about it like this, especially when I read the owner of the Renegades, who Jacoby Jones,
he became like a football lifer. He started coaching the arena team in Beaumont.
Sam Gordon, who's the owner, did an interview with Aaron Wilson, the KPRC, over the weekend after the news broke. And I'll read you these comments. That's why it made me think of like how heavily we criticized him, but now how he's really remembered. Here's the quote from Sam Gordon. He was the best. He loved everyone. I think one of the most important things is he was a man of God. He was proud of how much he loved and feared his God. What was most important to him after football was helping the next person in line. He was the most humble and kind person to anybody who gave him the time and needed time from him.
Yeah.
End quote. And the thing that came to mind for me immediately was that is how we all wish and hope that we'll be remembered by the people that we leave behind.
Yeah.
And it also reminded me specifically of how much work I have left. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't sell yourself.
We have a lot. Well, just in general, like, you know, we have our favorites, and when we lose them, we have fond memories of them. And I have nothing but fond memories of Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, even in the midst of what you said, didn't end it on a high note. He was never disliked.
No.
He was criticized.
No, and you know why?
Yeah.
Because of what I just read.
Yeah.
That was prevalent even when he struggled as a player here. Mm-hmm. because of the energy that he had, because of the excitement that he had. I don't, who said this earlier? Was it you, Seth Payne, or Sean Pendergast? One of you guys said it, that I think it was Seth. He almost had like a juvenile type of
childlike, yeah,
you know, personality about him. And that's so true.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of a prankster.
Playful energy.
Never knew what was going to come out of his mouth.
Playful energy is how I would say it.
Yeah.
And gone way, 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 way too soon.
No doubt. Yeah. This is the last one for me on the hits. I didn't get a chance to see it, and that's really where it stems from. I don't miss Wimbledon. I never miss Wimbledon, especially the final. What an epic Wimbledon I missed.
Figgy, this is your wheelhouse.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
Alcaraz in straight sets. Bada bing, bada boom, bam, get out of here, no. Djokovic. What a dominating performance. You saw this, Figgy, didn't
you? Yeah, I saw towards the end, but I think it was kind of breathtaking a little bit, because we always see the Joker win every single match. He win everything, but it was refreshing to see somebody that's 20. I think he's like 22, 23.
Still very young. I think he's maybe 23.
Yeah, somebody like that.
Beat him last year.
Yeah, beat him last year too. So this could be the passing of the torch, where he can be the new Joker, where he's there every single year.
I think so. But I wanted to be there and see it and live that moment, because I'd followed it all the way up until I lost power, with everybody else during the storm. It was incredibly special for Djokovic to even have gotten
there. Oh, the way all his injuries.
3 months. Yeah. 3 months removed from knee surgery. And I'd watched him in his first two rounds this Wimbledon, and it was a battle.
Yeah.
That dude was struggling, slipping and sliding. He even fell to his knees at one point. I think in the round of 16, a round of 32, whatever it was. It was for him to have made it and almost gotten one over on that young kid, man, to get it back, a little revenge. That would have been so sweet, but I'm happy for the young
Wimbledon
kid
is just special, and you know that, because I don't watch tennis like Figgy does or you do, but you always got to tune in to the Wimbledon finals.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Yeah,
that's it. You just do.
I tell people this all the time. I don't watch tennis during the regular season throughout the course of the year, but it's like Wimbledon to me is my Indy 500. It's my
Same
Kentucky
thing.
Derby.
Yeah.
If it's any big soccer qualifier, I don't have to know anything about
anybody. I watched Spain and England.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big soccer guy. I watched every minute of that. And that's just my thing. So, again, shout out to Spain as well for another Euro championship.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. Spain had a good weekend, right?
Really good week. Tennis, golf. Sergio won the LIV tournament this week.
Yeah.
That was kind of under the radar. And then, of course, Spain with the Euros.
They had a very good sports weekend. Shout out Spain. Coming up next, we'll roll into the 12 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little Stros. We'll let you hear from Match or Smack. But getting back to the Stros, I thought about this coming into today. If the Astros made the playoffs this season, that would be the most impressive thing we've seen in Houston sports since what? You guys tell me. We'll discuss next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.